Hey, good morning, church. How are we this morning? Hey, aren't you glad that we don't worship a cosmic Santa Claus? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Todd. And because today we're going to talk about what it means to know God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of Jesus, his Father, who he walked this life talking to in relationship with. That is the God that we get to discover today. But before we go down that train, I just want to ask, who here made it to Vision Night on Monday night? Hey, thanks for being there. Was that all right? Okay. We unveiled this contraption back here. If anyone sees smoke rising, just let me know and I'll get out of the way. But we just simply want to share this, that we are for Greater Portland. We are for this community. We want this community to know that we are for them. That we don't have an agenda. We don't have anything more than we want them to have fullness of life that we've found. And that's what this whole series is going to be about. We're going to spend 5 weeks unpacking our vision, our mission, and our values, one of which is to know God. And we're going to discover what these mean for our lives and then also for the region that we're a part of. And so don't forget, put it on your calendar that Sunday, September 18th, we're having Vision Sunday with the biggest block party we can throw out in the parking lot. There's going to be food, there's going to be food trucks, there's going to be bounce houses, a Velcro wall. I'm trying to convince somebody to get a dunk tank for Pastor Scott. We're trying to do everything we can to throw the biggest party for our church family in this region out in that parking lot. So please put it on your calendar. We have Vision Sunday coming up. And then leading up to that Sunday, we have a challenge. I think the slide was up here on the screen. It's the For Greater Portland Challenge. Super simple. It's going to be super hard. All it's going to require is you to pray and talk with somebody. To choose a person. Like our Connect cards have on the back, to pray for one. Choose a person that we're not only going to pray for, we're going to ask God to specifically put them in our lives in the next 4 weeks to be able to grab a coffee or a meal or a time where we can give them the greatest gift that we can provide, our presence, our time, to sit with them and to what? To share Jesus. That we share Jesus in the way that what he's done in our life has brought us life, has it not? And we get to share that with people. We get to share our story. We get to share with Jesus and bring them with us. When we say bring them with us, that's not going on your grocery journeys or going to the gym or anything or bring them to work. Right? It's bring them here. Bring them to the church to go on this quest we're going to go on halfway through September for an entire year. We're going to go on Quest 52, pursuing for 52 weeks after the person of Jesus. And what a great investment we can make in the people that we know is just by inviting them to join us so they can go on that quest with us. How many people have given this church just 1 year? And through this church gathering, through the teaching, through the gospel entering their life has been changed. We can share that gift with others. We can invite them to join us on this journey as we go. So be joining us on the challenge. If you could throw the slide up one more time. We're going to choose a person. Grab a coffee, share Jesus, and bring them with us. Who here is going to take us up on the challenge? Oh, come on. Who's going to take us up on the challenge? All right. Hey, look, I just want to share this as we get going. We have four core values. To know God. To find freedom. If you know the others, join me. To engage community. And to share your story. That we want to know God, we want to find freedom, we want to engage community and share our story. And these aren't just values that we want to put on a wall or put on a piece of paper or share with so people can sign. These are the values that we've identified through prayer and understanding and discerning what are the core values that we believe are utmost as followers of Jesus here in this region. And the first is we must know God. We can't not know God and consider ourselves followers of Jesus. They don't exist in the same life. If we don't have relationship with God, we can't follow Jesus. That's like me saying, I'm married, but I don't know who my wife is. Right? We can't do that. And then if we're following Jesus and we are still stuck in these these habits, this sin and the brokenness that we've existed in or we've chosen to run back to, we can't live into a life following Jesus if we haven't found freedom. We're not following Jesus if we're not plugged into community. Community beyond the gathering here on Sunday morning. Community that involves rubbing our shoulders together, having the tough conversations, leaning on each other, just as the disciples did. We must be engaged in community and find to share our story. This is how the church birthed thousands of years ago. People walked up to other people and said, "You wouldn't believe who I just met." Or, "You wouldn't believe what somebody just told me. You wouldn't believe what I just experienced. I saw that the scriptures came to life in the person of Jesus, and I have to tell you because my life is changed because of it." Disciples of Jesus must share their story. And if we're going to see gospel transformation in this region, the region that most of us call home, the region that we love, if we're going to see Jesus' gospel transform this region, we have to be disciples of him who share him with others. We have to be disciples that live into these values that we're going to unpack as we go through the next few weeks. And so today, we're going to go right into knowing God. We're going into the reality that as disciples of Jesus, our greatest call is to know him. Not know about him, not know of him, not know the books that talk about him, but that we know God. And how many of us believe that we can know God this morning? How many of us here say, "I know God. I've met God. I know him and I love him and I'm following him through his son Jesus." We can know God. And I just want to share that I believe this deep in my soul. Our entire purpose as human beings is to know God. Our entire purpose. The reason we have breath in our lungs and there's blood coursing through our veins is to know God, to know our Creator, to know the one that named us and knit us in our mother's womb, that knows everything about us, the most deep, intimate parts of our souls. Our whole purpose is to know him back. And let me say this, that the whole purpose and the reason for Jesus is to fulfill the reality that God desires for us to know him. Because any of us that know anything about the creation story and the Old Testament is that God had chosen this people to be in relationship with him, and these people continued to rebel against him. And so God said, I'm going to pay one final price. I'm going to give my only son so that they might know me. Jesus' purpose was that we might have relationship back with God. Jesus walked this earth with his disciples, teaching them what it meant to know God and know of his kingdom. Jesus' whole life, death, and resurrection was the final work so that we would know God and enjoy him forever. As disciples of Jesus, we must know God. And so maybe you've done the church thing your whole life. Maybe you're saying, "Well, Keenan, I know God through attending church, going to Bible studies, going through confirmation, having my first communion, going through all of these things, doing all of these things." And I might have a news flash for you. I did that too, and guess what? I didn't know God. I knew about God. I knew the things of God. I knew of his people that gathered on Sunday mornings. I knew of the people that served their entire lives for God. But that didn't mean I knew him. That didn't mean I knew his son. That didn't mean I knew the voice of his spirit in my heart. All that meant was that I was in close proximity of other people who did. And so maybe you're here this morning saying, "I know God, and I've enjoyed him this morning, and I've enjoyed him this past week, and I've enjoyed him for the months prior and years," and maybe that's you, and I pray that this is just a great encouragement to continue on that journey of knowing who he is, getting near to him, understanding his purposes and will in your life. Or maybe you're sitting here saying, "Who is this crazy kid up there with the microphone, and who let him get the microphone?" Because I deeply believe that we can know God. And if you don't believe that today, I pray that you hang in there with us and that you walk away here recognizing that there are people in this room that have met the Lord Jesus, that have been encountered with the Creator of the universe, and they are giving their lives for him, because that is what we are all about. That's who we are. We are people who pursue after knowing God, and I pray this morning that God touches your heart and that he invites you into that very relationship that we've found to give us life. And so we're going to share from a chapter in John mostly this morning. We're going to kind of travel through John, but this is really, really important to me because as I was preparing for this sermon, my wife, Ashley, she said, "What are you preaching on?" And I said, "Well, I got 25 minutes to talk about knowing God. I need like 25 years, right, to unpack the reality of knowing God." And she said, "Well, why don't you just go to John chapter 10? And I said, "Of course I'm going to go to John chapter 10. And then I had to go, "What does it say in John chapter 10? Here's Jesus' words with his disciples in John chapter 10. "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Some context here is Jesus is referring as these people who have come before him, claiming that they were the shepherds or the gate into this pasture. They were all the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the people, the religious leaders who have claimed that they've found the way to God and that if they would just follow them with their heavy burdens and all these rules and religiosity, that they would find their way into this life with God. And Jesus is standing there after an encounter with the Pharisees, looking at his disciples, and he says, "Don't believe them. I'm the gate. I'm the one. And if you enter the pasture through me, you will have life and have it to the full." And he goes on to say that in verse chapter 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." If we're in relationship with someone, do we know their voice? We know their voice if we truly are in relationship with them. Jesus is saying, "My sheep know me. They know my voice. I know them." It begins with having this relationship and with Jesus. And when it comes to knowing God, it only comes through Jesus. Let me say that again. Knowing God only comes through Jesus. There is only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And it's Jesus Christ. We can't know God apart from him. He's the gate. If anybody's ever come to a gate in a sheep pen or a gate in any pen, it's the only way in. It's the only way, and until that gate is open, we can't enter the pasture. And many people have written allegories and stories of these people who have tried to enter the gate, and they climb over the wall or trying to sneak their way in, and guess what? Jesus is standing there at the gate and saying, "You don't get it. It's not a physical gate. You have to come through me. I have to grant you permission and access." And how gracious is he when he says, "You just have to believe in me. You just have to know me." And Jesus is the good shepherd, is the one that is tending to the flock, right? Many of us think, "Well, oh, don't call me a sheep." Have you ever recognized, did I really just do that? Did I just walk down that road? Did I just go back to that mud hole? Did I just go back to those realities that I've tried to walk away from forever? Did I get stuck in this thing again? Was I not able to clean myself up? Did I need other people to help take care of me? How many people have ever found themselves in those kind of situations? It's a lot like a sheep. If you ever watched sheep get herded across a road, we were driving through Ireland one time and all of these sheep just going all over the place, wandering through the road, the cars stopped. I'm saying, who lets sheep cross the road in the 21st century? And there was a shepherd, and the second he whistled, they all turned because they knew his voice. And how many of us know the voice of the Father when he speaks to us? How many of us know when God says, "Hey, that is not the right direction. Turn this way." How many of us are grateful for that voice that keeps us from being led astray? followers of Jesus know the voice of the shepherd. And it's only through Jesus that we can know God. Jesus even said in Matthew, he said, narrow is the way, difficult is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So Jesus continues with this idea that there is only one way. There's only one way to God, and it's through him. Difficult is the road. And we're used to the American gospel that says, hey, don't worry. God has great purposes for your life. He has great plans. If you would just do good, be good, do all the right things, go to church, go to Bible study, if you would just participate, you'll get your trophy and you'll be in a better place. That's not Jesus' gospel here. Narrow is the gate. Difficult is the road. But it leads to life. That's the gospel. It's only through Jesus that we can come into full surrender of God. It's only through him. And of course, God has great purposes for us. You know what his great purpose is for us? To know him. There's no better thing in life. He pours out his favor. He pours out his blessing. He walks with us beside those green pastures into those still waters. He has all of these great things for us here on earth and forevermore. And yet, will we still encounter suffering and trials and trouble? You better believe it. Again, God is not this cosmic Santa Claus. If we stay off his naughty list, he sends us presents from on high. This is a God who wants relationship with us. Just as our parents or our fathers, if we've had healthy relationships with them, or maybe mentors in our lives, guardians that have walked with us, are we not grateful that they didn't spare us of the trial, but they walked with us through it? We learn and we're in preparation of what it's going to be like to be in full relationship with God someday. And again, our call is not to just be participants in this thing called church here in America. Our call is to turn from our wicked ways, turn back to God through his son Jesus, and give our entire lives for him. Knowing God begins with Jesus. And so when we start considering this idea that God wants relationship with us, he doesn't just want us to be these holy, pious people that just do everything right and look good on the outside. And that's usually when Ashley just nudges me and she goes, if they only know who you were. Right? We can placate our lives really well, right? We can say, this is who I am. This is me. And then we can, finally take off that outer cloak and we can all of a sudden just be who we really want to be. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be transformed in anything. We just want to veg out. But when it comes to relationships, I heard a marriage counselor once say, your marriage is going to be as healthy as you pursue your partner. So if you want this so-so marriage, if you want, you know, to kind of be on the same page most of the time, avoid some conflict, have this kind of decent relationship, compare it to a pursuit of an education. You got to get your bachelor's degree in your spouse, right? Work as hard as in your relationship as you would to study for your bachelor's degree, which many of us probably have in this room. But if you want to have a deeper, more thriving relationship, study your spouse as if you're earning your master's degree, right? Invest yourself further. Specify in these areas. Understand them. And then if you want this deep, deep, sacrificial love relationship, be studying them as if you're going to write a thesis and a dissertation and walk away with your doctorate. How many of us feel like in our relationship with God, we've got our high school diploma? We just show up. We're just present. We beg the teachers every once in a while or the pastors. We just want that good grade. But at the end of the day, when we walk out of the space that we're in, that's as much effort as we're ever going to put in. How many of us have ever been to a kindergarten graduation? Where they hold up the paper and their handprint and their name with a couple letters backwards. I graduated kindergarten. Wherever we are today, whether we're graduating kindergarten with Jesus or we're focusing on our dissertation with him, may we continue our pursuit and never stop learning who he is. May we never stop investing in our relationship with God, because he's invested everything through his son Jesus. There was no other son for him to send to sacrifice himself for us. He was the first and the last, and that is all that God could and has given. is his one and only son. And what does our investment look like on our side in relationship with him? Are we graduating kindergarten or struggling through our high school diploma? Or are we on this pursuit to understand the creator of the universe who understands you? So at one point, about 8 years ago, I recognized that I had my GED with God. Right? I had just barely scraped by in church and kind of had a few things that were helpful, namely probably a bookmark with a poem on it. And I'd been around people who were just pillars of the faith, deeply loved God, deeply understood how good he was. But I was focused on memorizing the hymns and going through Sunday school and confirmation, all these things that were very important in my religious context as I was growing up. But it never gave me an ounce of relationship with God. I never knew him. I never heard from him. I didn't see his story playing out in my life. So 8 years ago, I set out on a pursuit. And I said, I'm going to try to get to know who this creator is that has sent his son for me. Because I believed in the gospel. I believed in the story that God loved me and wanted good things for me. And he had sent his son to die for me. I knew the Christmas story, the Easter celebration, I was at the sunrise services, all of these things I could articulate really, really well and sing you half the hymn book in that church context. But I knew I didn't know God. But you know what I had? Really profound things. I had a Bible, I had a journal, and I had an alarm clock. Some people don't want me to use that word. An alarm clock. Back then, there were three different things. Today, we have no excuse. They're all on our phone. And that's where I began. I would set my alarm to wake me up before the rest of the world was awake. And I would pour myself into the scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament, major prophets, minor prophets, epistle letters, all these things that I can't tell you how important this Bible Foundations class is going to be for so many people who choose to take it this fall. That Todd and a team will continue to lead and engage our church, because if we don't have a biblical foundation, we are worshiping a God of our own imagination. And guess what? God created our imagination. We can't create him. We can't define who he is. And so that's where I started. And I started on this journey of reading God's word in Greek, his logos, his written word, his inspired word that was a revelation to my mind. And I began to understand his holistic redemption story, not only through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, but I began to see my life as a part of that redemption story. And guess what? I wasn't the main character. I realized it was Jesus. And I saw how he engaged people through his life and his ministry, and he redeemed people. And people were prophetic about it from the Old Testament, saying, he's going to come. And then the epistle letters were looking back and saying, this is the one who came. World, we need to take notice of this person, Jesus. He's come so that we might have relationship and know God, the one who's created us. And you know what happened as I began to engage his word for years, reading the Bible, cover to cover, letters at a time, engaging his word, I began to hear his voice in my heart. His word, his logos, became his word, his rhema, his spoken word in my spirit, where I began encountering things that were stressful or difficult or challenging in my life, and his word would just be completely welling up in my own heart and mind. And guess what? It was from my time spent in the scriptures. And this might be a little challenging for folks, but if we think that worship music on K-Love on our commute to work is enough to build a relationship with God, it's not. I don't hear any amens. Amen. But I'm serious. We're serious. The Bible is the inspired word of God and given us to guide us in our lives in truth. And his spirit works in and through it to inform and transform our lives. And so we can't know God unless we know his word. He's given it to us. Imagine if we had a father. Life circumstances sent him off in a distant place, and yet he wrote letters, letters and letters, days and days and days and weeks of letters to us, would we not take them, even if we had never met him, and read them and pour over them? This is our Father that we are someday, we hope that we're someday going to know, we're going to hear from, we meditate on them, we read line after line and underline them, and we just want to know who this Father is that's in a distant place. And then one night, the Father who wrote those, all of those letters that you've read thousands of times in your bedside table, you hear the door open and you hear a voice and you know it's him. There is nothing that melts my heart more as when God says, come meet with me. Come be with me. Get in my word. Get on your knees. Come meet with me. And you know what? I'm not after a pursuit for anything. Of course I want my children to grow up knowing him. Of course I want my wife to have this deep relationship with him. We would love all the blessings and the favor God has poured out for years and years and years to his children. But in that moment, I just want to be with him. And is that our pursuit, church? That the value that births in our lives as we're disciples of God is that we just want to know him. We want to know him deeper and deeper. And so knowing God comes through his word and it leads us to his voice. We have to be a church of the word because it leads to his words flowing in and through our hearts. And they're not for us to take on our own. They're not these gifts that are just, hey, this is a little secret note for you, God. So many times we encounter God's spirit because he moves in and through other people. Isn't that right? Other people have these words for us or they say something that's encouraging. It seems so coincidental. How could that have happened? And it's only because God is using his word to inform others' minds so that when he speaks for others as well. And so our pursuit is to know God. And in Hebrews chapter 4, the author of Hebrews says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. For the word of God is alive and active. It is not some antiquated, old, rustic book that has no place in today's post-modernity. In today's, we are post-modern. People are pursuing after the God of themselves. The ultimate God in today's culture is self. And so nobody wants to grab the sharp two-edged sword that's going to split their soul. They want to just keep that on the shelf. Let me tell you, it is the most life-transforming, informative, guiding resource known to man. And it has been for centuries. And who are we today to say that it has no place in our lives? The scriptures are where we need to be because they challenge us, they form us, and God begins to have deeper and deeper relationship with us as we encounter his word. And so recently, I came home, this was about a week ago. I came home and I had a wrestling match going on in my own heart about something actually here at work that was churning. It wasn't a big deal to anybody else, but it was to me, and it was just churning inside of me. And so I was going through all the coping mechanisms. Well, I'll go mow the lawn, I'll do the dishes, I'll get on my phone, and I'll do all these things, but I just knew there was something eating me up that I needed to let go of. And at one point in the evening, God said, you're gonna meet with me tonight. There's this moment in my head that I said, whoa, uh-oh. It was a gentle, fatherly voice that was in my own deep soul heart that said, you come meet with me. And I even delayed. I was like, well, I got to find something else to do. That's not going to work. And yet at one point, I was sitting in my chair and I just realized, I can't keep dwelling on this. And I got up out of my chair, I threw a sweatshirt on and my shoes, and I started walking up the driveway. And the second I got out, my eyes got adjusted, I looked up and I could see the entire Milky Way galaxy. I could hear the crickets and see the fireflies out in the fields. And I could hear the little critters kind of waking up for the night. And I felt enveloped in God's presence. And I just sat underneath a tree and I closed my eyes. And I can't tell you what I experienced other than God's fullness filling me. And I didn't say a word. For over half an hour, I just sat there. So many people would say, well, that's a waste of time. When you meet with the creator of the universe and his peace that passes understanding floods your soul in an instant, there's no place you'd rather be. And somebody would say, okay, someone paid him to say that. If I was bound in chains in prison, I'd tell you the same thing. Because that is the relationship our Father wants to have with us. And how many of us can say that we hear from him as frequently as we want to? How many of us can say that we've had those moments with him as frequently as we want to? I can't. I want to engage him more and more and more, because what I realize is as I do, more and more life flows out of me. More and more excitement for his gospel. More and more desire to share relationally with people what Jesus is doing in our life and our church. And it's those moments that we meet with God, informed by the scripture, to go and be with him. So if there's one encouragement I have for you today, it's go be with God between now and midnight. Go spend time. Disconnect your devices. Go just grab your Bible and your journal. And I pray you don't need an alarm clock, but if you fall asleep, may it sound off and wake you back up. But we have this time with him. This is tough to talk through, because my fear is that there's many in this place, I know there's many in this region, I was one of them, that didn't know God. And as I share this, I just want to let you know that I want to be as gentle as possible, but I also want to share the reality of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus, as he's kind of closing the Sermon on the Mount, he's laying it out there for all those that are listening, his disciples and those that are on the mountain. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This isn't the Jesus of some of our Sunday school classes. We wrestle with this reality. But what I want to focus on is take heart, because Jesus doesn't care an ounce of what you do for him. What he wants is relationship with you. I never knew you. In our context, as we draw near to him, is enter my kingdom because I've known you. There is no greater voice to hear, I assure you of that, than Jesus saying, welcome to paradise, and I've known you since you met me. That is his invitation. Because I don't know about you, but I can't check many of these things off this list. Prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, perform many miracles in your name. If that's the checklist to enter the kingdom of God, I think most of us would probably say, well, we're not invited. And Jesus is saying, there is nothing you can do aside from receiving my gospel and stepping into relationship with me and my Father and my Spirit. That is when I welcome you into paradise. That is when I welcome you into the kingdom. And many of us think that the kingdom is this far off, distant place that we're going to see once we go 6 feet under or once our lines go flat. Jesus is saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom is here today. And it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's through relationship with him, that we experience the kingdom of God today. Amen? Amen. That is his invitation. I've experienced, there's many in this room that have experienced that. And who would we be to reject him? To say, I don't receive your gospel of grace. I don't receive your invitation to the kingdom. I don't receive a gift of eternal life. I think I know what I've got going on up here. And how wrong we'll be if that's what we carry through the rest of this life. Because even the people who do all these things in his name, they won't enter paradise. They won't enter his kingdom. And it breaks my heart. Because Jesus, gentle and lowly as he is, says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, for my burden is light. That's what Jesus is inviting us into this morning. A life of light, easy burdens, learning from him to know God. And in his final days on earth. We go back to the book of John, where Jesus is captured in John chapter 17 through 13, 13 through 16. He's caring for his disciples so well, preparing them for what's about to happen with his crucifixion and his resurrection. And Jesus is having this entire conversation, washing their feet, teaching them the things of the kingdom, teaching them to abide in him, and they'll bear fruit as they find life in him. And Jesus is recorded saying this as he prays to his Father. Please don't miss this. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus is recalling back. Father, we were in perfect unity before you sent me, God in flesh, to redeem the world. And he says, but know this, there is one eternal life to an experience, and it's to know God, the one true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to know what eternal life is, it's not a destination. It's a relationship. Eternal life is not a destination. It's a relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of his Spirit. And that's the invitation to all the people in this room that say, I might not know God in this way. And don't think that I've cornered the market. Don't think that we've cornered the market, but we're on a pursuit. And it's our role to be the forerunners of that pursuit, to be chasing after Jesus and inviting other people along. And so your invitation today is to know God. Maybe you're sitting here stirred in your heart saying, this is so uncertain. I don't know what this will lead to, but my heart is pricked to pursue after this God, to know him, to take hold of this value in my life. I promise you, it's the greatest pursuit you'll ever go on for the rest of your life. Today, we have people that will welcome you. They'll pray with you. They'll invite you into the baptistry. We'll baptize you in Jesus' name and walk with you into this life after God, to know him, to live into this reality. And maybe some of us, we have some conversations to be had with him. He invites us into relationship. He invites us to remember the bridge that he built, the bridge that he laid down for us and his Son Jesus to have relationship with him. And it takes time. It doesn't take a high school diploma. It doesn't take a participation award. It takes a pursuit after him. And so this morning, as we go into a time of communion, I pray we pause and we think about the relationship we have with Jesus today. You don't have to tell anybody here next to your right or your left, but I pray we just take some time to center ourselves and even ask him, Father, do I know you? Do I know you? And if we're wrestling with the fact that maybe we don't, maybe we ask him to show himself in our lives and invite us into that. So let me pray for us, and then we'll take communion together. Father, we don't take this stuff lightly. Because when we're faced with the reality that you paid the price through your Son Jesus for us, so that we might have relationship with you, we have a decision to make. Not one of shallow urgency, but one of deep reality that you, the one who've created us, who invite us into relationship, that you want relationship with us back. And so, Father, as we look to your Son Jesus, as the one who gave it all so that we could have life in you, may we recognize our next step with you. Father, may your name be lifted high today. May your Spirit move in power in our lives in this moment. And Jesus, may you become King of every heart in this room. In Jesus' name.